all right, it's Danny. And again, just to let you know that these are on YouTube now. So if you want to watch it, you can. Like, it's Drunk Therapy on YouTube. The last few have been filmed on Zoom. You're not missing much, to be honest. Like, you just see our faces whilst we still talk shite. So I just to be warned, just in case there's the odd comment that you might go, I don't get why they're talking about this because I can't see it. I don't think this one's too bad for it. But just in case, it's on YouTube. But it'll be fine. It'll be absolutely fine to just listen to it as you currently are. So good on you. Well done. Hope you're all right. Cheers.
The following podcast contains three mates talking shit over some beers. As you can imagine, the language can get a wee bit hairy from time to time. So get involved. Grab a beer and join us at Drunk Therapy, the podcast.
Anyone that's known you for the past 5 years that's not known you before it, they're just going to look at you and go, what the fuck is going on with your face?
Thanks.
No, but like, in a way, like, they've never seen that before.
That's what I've thought that every morning for 32 years, looking in the mirror, so...
It's like, I imagine that's, is that what your dad looks like? Like, you look like Danny's dad now.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I can see the resemblance of Danny, but there's like parts of him that I'm like, oh, it's a little bit different.
Ugh. Yeah, my dad's a bald cunt.
Get on him.
I met your dad once. But what inspired it, mate, then? Because a lot of people are on the other side of that in lockdown where they're just growing and growing and growing. And you're just like, fuck it.
I don't know, I just, I'm bored, so die, fuck it, just shave.
Or have you thought about shaving your head?
Nah, not really, nah. I haven't. No, is the answer to that. I wanted to embellish further, but nah, I haven't. But there's people using, like, fucking underground fucking pirate barbers just now, which is bizarre. Like, if you're going to break... Like, we're at a very weird stage of this whole thing just now, and that people are going to one extreme or the other, in the sense that you've got folk who have kind of maybe stopped caring as much and are going to visit people, which is bad, and they shouldn't do that. But at the other end of that, you've got people who are fucking watching every cunt's waking move now and are running to tell people about all these awful things and making it sound quite scary. So there's people apparently going to, like, cunts' pussies to get their hair cut. So if I was risking death, I wouldn't do it to get a haircut.
I don't think you really need a haircut. It looks quite nice. I've got a neighbour, speaking on what you're talking about, and one of the great things about this situation is that we are getting to know the neighbours very well. It's like an old school community spirit coming to the fore. And this guy at the end, I won't name his name. Don't name his name, that sounds mental. But he, someone that he knew died. So he decided to go to this memorial there after the funeral, because funerals are very strict. You can only have so many people at it. And it's very regimented. But a memorial afterwards in North Lanarkshire, and there was like 30 of them. And 30 people decided to go and get a fucking photograph, holding Buckfast, Mad Dog, like no social distancing at all, and post it up on a social media site. And it ended up in the Scottish Sun. And it ended up like fucking proliferating all over media. And my other neighbour was like, that's that fanny, show me the picture. I'm just looking, and I'm trying not to judge. I'm like, his mates died. It's a very fucking difficult set of circumstances for everyone. And I'm trying to go with that each to their own mentality. But then I'm also thinking about the neighbour next door who's like, I'm immunocompromised and she's in a house for 12 weeks, and I'm going, this is a finite balance in what I actually think about things, you know, because usually I'd be like, ah, fuck it, doesn't matter, but that guy's just doing what makes him feel happy. But we all are responsible for trying to, you know, fucking stop this, and it's trapped in some way. So like, it's fucking my mentality kind of thing. I'm like, that guy, he's not doing anything wrong. He had a girl up last night, because we were joking about that earlier. And I'm like, you know, like, who am I to judge him getting through this the way he does? But at the same time, I'm like, kind of, you should be.
I think everyone's got, like, their own kind of threshold of how long they can, you know what I mean? It's like, and now you're seeing it, more and more people are flaunting the rules and shit. Like, Like I was a bit of a dick before I went for a big long skateboard and I was gone for about 2.5 hours. I didn't see anyone else. But like I kind of was like, you know, I'm still social distancing, but at the same time I was like out for longer than an hour and shit like that. But I think like I've got some mates that had a catch up together and I was going through the same thing. I was like, fucking hell, guys, that's shite. But at the same time, you're like, fucking, you know what? Like if it is a weird one and people will like judge and then, but you know, everyone's got their like limit of how much they can stay in the house. Like Marla hasn't left the house in about 6 weeks. I literally hasn't left this house to go outside ever. Not even to take out bins. Like it's mental. Like I'm going for a run every day and I'm suited with that. But I think we'll find more and more people are not doing anything hugely reckless, but kind of sneaky going to see a friend here or there and stuff like that. Cause I think it's like, as long as you're not fucking, you know, going around and licking old people, it's not good. It is still breaking the rules, but I think you'll find it happens more and more, and it's going to get harder and harder to, you know, be angry at them because you're like, fuck, you know what, if I'm honest with myself, I would fucking love to be at a barbecue right now. I'd love to do this thing. I'd like to do that thing. It's just, I guess, a case of not doing it. You know what I mean? It's like some people just go, fuck it.
Do you know what? Happen more, though. You make a very good point. It's the people that are withheld from licking old people that I feel most sorry for, because they were.
Marla loves licking old people, and now she's got none, nowhere.
And this is old people licking season because it's so warm outside. You know
how they're sweaty.
Exactly, it's a goddamn shame for them.
It's just another example of everything where the answer lies somewhere in the middle. You've got people who are too extreme on one side and people are too extreme on the other. So I think like the vast majority of us are evidently, I think, going by looking at stats and numbers and all that, are evidently doing what they're told. But I went out this morning, so I went out for kind of like a run / jog, and I covered quite a lot of Shawlands area, and I deliberately made a point of counting how many times I got annoyed by other people, but in terms of breaking social distancing and thinking that's fucking don't do that. And it was once, and it was a family of four, and it wasn't a young family. It was like kids were maybe 12 or 13 walking down like a really narrow pavement in a group. But I don't know the circumstances, I don't know where they're going, but it was the only time when I looked and went, fuck's sake, user, that's don't do that. And that was out of probably over 100 people that I would have seen on this hour and a half that I was out. But the thing is that one group out of 100 is so magnified, and if I was an idiot, which I am, but not to this much of an extent, that I would run to fucking Facebook or Twitter and go, oh, look at these fucking shouty arseholes. All right, there were one shouty arseholes in amongst this sea of 100 people who were doing what they were told, but that kind of tiny minority is getting magnified so much just now, and everything's getting dramatised, and apparently the roads are mobbed and the shops are heaving and the roads are quiet and the shops are busy, but you're only noticing the shops when you're in the yogurt aisle with somebody and you're kind of eyeing each other up and going, oh fuck, who's going to walk past who? Oh no, I'm going to kill you, you're going to kill me. And we're all mostly doing our told, and every cunt just needs to chill out a wee bit. Look, hopefully we're beyond the worst of this and there's light at the end of the tunnel, so stop fucking gassing on cunts and stop getting agitated by it as well. Like, most of us are all right and doing what we're told.
It's now what I've seen more is people moaning about, like, these countries are out of it. This, you know, these countries have got less people and they've had less deaths. And it's like, that's a different situation. Like, I could be sitting here going, fucking, how come New Zealand's out of it and we're not out of it? Right. It's like, you're not comparing the same shit. So, like, every time I see someone fucking say, like, Germany's had, you know, they've got this many people and they've only had this many deaths and now they're walking free. It's like, fuck off, unfriend, get the fuck. Like, it's hard enough for, I guess maybe that's what people use. I guess people who are moany cunts are moany cunting to kind of get that out of their system. They're like, that's how they cope with it. But at the same time, get the fuck.
Well, there's nothing else to fucking moan about, essentially. Yeah, the exactly. Reason that, like, these are probably the kind, this is very judgmental, but these are probably the same kind of people who in work would probably care more about work than anything else in life, and work is everything to them, and they fucking know everything about their neighbours, and they fucking spy and gossip, and they're essentially like ISIS and there's nothing to really eyeser over just now. So if it's easy to fucking embellish one person doing one thing that's a bit fucking shady and turn it into fucking Grand Theft Auto 6.
Shane, I seen your post today about, I mean, an incredible picture of what your mum was doing with the dolphins in New Zealand. Wow. Did it make you question your life decisions? I've not seen this.
So before you go into this story, Shane, what is this picture? Why is your mum with dolphins in New Zealand?
So mum was just going, mum's got a wee like canoe and outside her house is the beach. And she just goes out every morning at this time of year and dolphins play with her. It sounds weird, but you know, dolphins do flips and shit, and she's like, she put up about 12 pictures and they're all doing flips and they're like right next to her boat and they're like, and you're sitting there going, the sun's out, there's a fucking lovely mountains in the background and dolphins are just playing with mum, and you're like, mum, don't post this shit. Like, because New Zealand's allowed to go to the beach and allowed to get into the water and shit now, and I'm sitting here stuck in my house going, fuck off, mum. Like, I love you, but this is not the time.
Just to clarify,
show off, cunt.
You were in Bayliston looking for a skate park today.
As I was biking,
you travelled 2 hours through fucking Shettleston to get to Bayliston to look for a skate park whilst your mum was playing with dolphins.
And you think that you've made good life choices.
And you know, mate, what? They'd taken half the skate park away, like, that's a thing that you don't do. Who the fuck takes half a skate park away? I got there and there was half a skate park and I was like, what the fuck? How have you taken half a... So I got there. I biked for fucking miles and miles and miles. And there wasn't even a full skate park. So I just went, right, guess I'm heading home then. It's fucking rubbish.
You live next to... Because I did a wee walk in Alexandra Park last week. You live next to one of the dirtiest ponds I've ever seen. And your mum lives next to the ocean. Again, I'm going to come back to it. At what point did you realise that you wanted to have a shit of life and just make it up here?
I was just like, you know what, it's too... the thing that's fucking me off as well is I was going back for a couple of weddings early next year, and I've been... They're like, New Zealand's basically saying we're not taking tourism till at least Christmas next year.
Are you like, not allowed to go back? That's a weird scenario as well then, because you're technically not a tourist. You could be returning home.
Yeah, but I guess that'd be like, if I then went after a few weeks, like if I went in and they went, then 2 weeks later I was going, they'd be like, no, mate, you came home. You are now fucking home. We're not letting you go. And there's also, I think, when you get into New Zealand, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So, I think, they have this camper van set up. I might be wrong. They used to have camper vans set up. Maybe they've dropped that now. But, literally, car parks full of camper vans for people that were coming in, returning home or whatever. And, they were, feeding them and shit like that. But, it was just quite loose. Everyone, the car parks of, all the airports were just holding people so they can quarantine.
Again, you made that really shit life decision, Danny, didn't you?
Well, I'm thinking that... Old Barbara is going to be jealous when she sees that Greggs are trialing opening up again next week.
And McDonald's.
Yeah, so what's Barbara going to do? The Dolphins aren't going to give her a steak bake, are they?
Mum loves Scotland.
She was meant to be over in a few months, eh?
She was meant to be over, my mum was meant to be over doing a massive trip all around the world. She's still having some dramas with getting her flights back. And my niece was going to do a 2-year working visa and basically, the room I'm in now, she was going to just kind of crash with us, and when she got a job, just pay us a bit of rent, and then once she realised we're not cool, fuck off and hang out with cool people. But it's quite exciting about that, because she's really cool. So I was like, oh man, get to hang out with my niece, and she's cool, and and then it was like, oh, fuck. There are worse things happening in the world, but it's just literally got nothing to look forward to now till Christmas 2021. Apart from my skateboard. That's why I'm so fucking pumped about a skateboard. And I got on it and I was shit and I fell over about 9 times. I don't even want this fucking thing anymore.
Surely this is a really mundane bit of geography for anyone that's listening, but surely the distance between Alexander Parade and Bayliston, which is maybe 2.5 miles, is not too far off the distance between you and Kelvin Grove Park, which is maybe 3 miles at a push, 3.5. You could have went to a proper skate park.
Yeah, I didn't know that because I went down and I went down part. What's the one near Celtic Park? I went to this tiny little one that I think you were talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's the one we were talking about. But like Kelvin Grove is the one that's the biggest in Glasgow, the most recognisable. And you would have just been straight through town, straight up and then down Kelvin Grove. It literally would have taken you 15 minutes to cycle if you would have done it in a good time. And then you were there rather than exposing your germs to everyone in East End.
I saw no one. So I was like, Shettleston looks nice. It doesn't. But I don't know because there's none of the shops that might look nice.
There's a great Aldi in Shettleston.
I've delivered.
Every time I have a beer at your house, which hasn't been for a while, obviously, Chloe's like, she gives me about 10 minutes of chat about how good it is at the Aldi and Shettleston. And I'm always like, oh, I've got to go because I'm drunk. And I'm just like, yeah.
It's a good Aldi. You don't need wait in queues like other supermarkets in this Aldi. In, out. Good stuff.
That suburban lifestyle. Talking to your neighbours. Sense of fucking community spirit. Oh.
Yeah. Fucking that's true.
What about you, Danny? Bastard. You've got no facial here now. Are you hanging in there? Doing all right?
Aye, fine. I get rid of that fucking dissertation. What, about a week and a half ago now? So.
Oh, fucking, how have you just brushed over? We haven't talked since then, eh? How did that go?
Badly, mate. Very, very badly. It was, it just broke me. I was a fucking broken human being. I felt awful. And I submitted it, and it was short.
We know that, by the way. We know you felt awful because anyone that listened to the last podcast knows how fucking mental you were going. You would send a message to Danny saying, how are you, mate? And he would just send you like back a picture with him like stabbing a fucking cactus. He doesn't have a cactus, but that was
not
a weird
anymore. But
I remember I think I looked on socials and it was like they've got to write 4,500 words a day. And I was like, fucking hell.
I finished it. It was short. Like the words, it was about 500 words short. I didn't spell check it. I didn't fucking read it back through. It just, So it's gone. And it was weird because I submitted it and like folk in my class were all posting like nice pictures because apparently it's a big deal. You submit your dissertation. So it's like, here's a nice picture of me submitting my dissertation. And I submitted it and I was like, oh, thank fuck that's off my mind. Everything's still fucked.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't discredit, see, the idea of posting a picture of your dissertation.
No, not at all, but everything's still fucked, so I didn't feel good about it. I didn't feel any different other than having that burden off my mind that was slowly fucking crippling me.
Well, that's why people post pictures of it. They're like celebrating the fact that they did it. I 100% think that dissertations are the worst, most misrepresentative part of you being at university and your degree. But I suppose people put a shitload of effort. So I would have liked a picture if you would have posted it, is what I'm saying.
It was never about that whole academic side. See, if like everything was running as normal, like life was carrying on as normal, everything would be fucking fantastic for me right now. And I would have been fine with that dissertation. But to have that on top of everything not being fine was shit. But it's done and it's out of the way. And I've just put loads of jokes in my acknowledgements that made it look like I was having a breakdown. Maybe because I was having a breakdown. So I'm hoping that they'll read them and go, shit, we better pass him because fuck, there's something wrong with him. So we'll see.
Don't pass you, then you get to redo parts, eh? Like they'll give you feedback and then you get like 6 months to redo it, do you not?
So there's no detriment on your final grade based on it. But if you fail, you still need to redo it, but there's no punishment. You don't get fucking, you don't get penalised for failing it. You get a free hit at the reset. So that's fine. That was also in my head when I just wanted it out of my mind. I get any trouble off a fucking 21-year-old for not putting in enough effort, which was mental.
Why? What 21-year-old gave you? Like, was it someone in your class?
I wouldn't name them, but yeah, it was funny. Like, I can laugh at it now, but it was fucking mental.
The girl that did the door at our live show, mate. I'll name her.
I don't know if she'll listen to this or not, but it was funny. But I was just like, oh, that's it. It's done. Like, it was shite, but everything's shite. And she was just like, I'm really down. Like, what up your mother? I'm dead disappointed in you. Like, you should have put more effort in. What was the point of coming to uni? That's how you were going to like act in the end. And I'm like, mate, like, I have nothing right now. Like, why are you saying this to me? Even my actual mother, who is the kind of person who would say something like that, has been like dead nice and supportive during all of this. And that was just like, oh, okay, thanks.
Kick me whilst I'm down,
and then fucking cut me, and then fucking pour salt over me, and then just don't phone 999.
Maybe it's that thing where you've got to break them down to build them up. Maybe at some stage she will then build you up.
That was what forced me to shave, because I was just like, I am nobody. I am nothing. 21-year-old has broken my spirit.
So how are you feeling then? Are you, now that that's done, because you were very, I mean, you had a bleak perception of the world, understandably so, beforehand. Because you had
Lockdown, you mean?
Yeah.
I've had a bleak perception of the world since I was about fucking 14.
Yeah, but before lockdown, I'm saying you had beforehand handed in a dissertation. The last episode is what I'm talking about. You are probably carrying in the most positive mentality that you've ever had into pre-lockdown, the live show kind of era. Now that that's done, how are you feeling post that? Because I know you had opportunities to, you know, go into the professional world and stuff. And a great job that was potentially happening. How's it all fucking feeling now?
I don't know, I feel more positive again. So what's this? Today's Saturday. So that was last Thursday, Saturday, what, 9 days ago, I got into that dissertation. And nothing really changed. Other than that, it was a weight off my mind, and I just started to feel a bit bored. So the other day, I'm now kind of at the stage with my spare time that everyone was at 6 weeks ago, or like furloughed people and folk would have been like 6 weeks ago, where you're just kind of looking for stuff to do, hence this. And it's all right. Like, I've got my health kick back up and running again. Like, I started that properly Monday, and that's probably like my goals or my targets, if I wanted to use your kind of patter for just now, is just to kind of keep fucking getting a bit healthier. And just see what happens, man. Like, I know in the long run it'll be all right. I know I've kind of done well, so fuck it. It is what it is. I still don't care about not seeing people. I'm fine with that side of things. But it'll all work out. Something will fucking pan out.
Is that, if you don't mind me asking, is that thing happening now, or is it unsure?
Fuck knows. Honestly, I've no idea. Without getting into, I don't want to go into the gory details, but like I'll find out at the end of the month, essentially. At the end of May, but purely based on my own thoughts and fucking what may or may not happen. I don't feel very positive about it, but who knows? Who knows? And financially, I've got money to last me until about the end of June, ended probably into July. So if that job falls through, I'll have money and I'll have time to find something, anything. I don't mind. Like, it doesn't bother me, the fact of going into like full-time work in places, because I've done every fucking job imaginable before. So I'm quite happy to go back to what would be perceived as kind of a shitey job for a wee while, just whilst everything kind of normalises again.
And I guess if you go into a shitey job, you don't have to stay in that forever. It's not your forever job.
That's it. It's something to pay the bills.
Exactly.
I don't see, the weird thing is, this has brought about a perception change in, I think, people, that there is no such thing as a shitey job.
Yeah.
Having a job is an amazing thing right now. And I think that if we play our cards right and we get keen on, because that's happening soon, we can take this to the Patreon level where none of us need to work. You know, like, who doesn't want to hear a Patreon episode of Keen? This is chat that came around yesterday, because to be fair, it's been a few weeks now, so we've probably got a wee bit of chat between us, but it came to the point where I'm in lockdown because nothing's happening in any of our lives, that we probably had to dig into a guest. We're going to speak to guests. And in the WhatsApp last night, I said, should we get a guest on? And Danny said yes, and I went, who? And then he went, I don't want to think about that. And I pushed him, they went, Keane. So we've kind of started to try and get Keane on the episode. I mean, nobody, like none of us fucking want Keane on the podcast, do we?
I was listening to Keane today because I was like, oh, we might be getting Keane on. And I was like, why the fuck? And I was like, I wish you Wikipedia. And I was like, from like Sussex in England. And I was like,
yeah.
And I messaged James going, why are we getting Keane on? Like, it's just an inside joke that I've missed. I'm like,
And not like, I genuinely, there's some really good tunes in that album. But it was a joke that you produced. Just to fuck off, James, kind of thing. Let's get Keane on. So I carried that joke onto Instagram, and like your PT's wife has now produced a contact for Keane's management.
Two contacts for Keane's management, aye, and a connection to say, like, tell them such and such sent you.
I don't know if I can carry a conversation with Keane for an hour over fucking Zoom.
I don't. The lead singer of Keane is a guy called Tom Chaplin, is his name. And he's done one of the worst cover versions I've ever heard. And he covered Sunshine on Leith, and it is fucking brutal.
That's how we'll open the episode.
But Spiralling is a tune, so I'll give him Spiralling. Spiralling's a fucking great tune.
What's that? I honestly had nothing. Like, if one of you guys want to pretend to be Keane for a second, I'll show you how my brain was thinking. Someone be Keane. Who's Keane?
Oh, so yeah, I've been, you know, just I'm actually posh Scottish. I can't do posh English. Danny, can you do posh English?
All right, I'm Keane. What is it?
So how's it? What have you been up to for the last 16 years?
Just fucking writing tunes, man. Like, Spiralling's a good tune, but I shouldn't cover Sunshine on Leith again. That was a bad decision.
Mr. Keane, man, see when you went to rehab in like 2005 or something, or 2006, and you pretended it was a port addiction. What was it, really? Were you on the gear?
It was actually sherry that I was addicted to. I was always on the Mary Sherry scale. I was fucking way up.
So it wasn't the gear.
Nah, it wasn't a gear. It was sherry.
Definitely, because you weren't. There wasn't anything else that didn't want to protect your reputation.
Because when I was mad with it on sherry, I thought it was a really good idea to cover "Sunshine on Leith" by the Proclaimers. It was a terrible rendition, but that was the sherry talking. But when I wasn't on the sherry, I wrote "Spiralling," which is a fucking good tune, and I'm proud of that.
By the way, the first album's full of good tunes. Like,
it's one of these ones that, because you'll listen to. The first album is essentially also their greatest hits, but with Spiralling added to it. And I put on Keane's greatest hits thinking, oh, Keane will be like one of these bands that they'll have like 9 or 10 tunes where you go, oh, that was a tune and that was a tune. It's maybe like 3.
They sing that everyone's changing.
Yeah.
I mean,
they also, this is the last.
There was one. What was the one that Lily Allen covered for a John Lewis advert?
Egypt, no.
No, that was the one Jen Louise was listening to.
Somewhere on the
moon. Yeah. So there's your three. That and Spiralling is probably your good Keane songs.
See, the thing is,
and I am Keane. That's me as Keane saying that.
I'm looking at the Spotify and those, Spiralling, I don't know, but to look at the four songs that Bedshape, This Is The Last Time, Everyone's Changing, Somewhere Only We Know. I mean, that's four fucking tremendous tunes. See, he have produced four tremendous tunes as a band, considering the amount of bands out there that never produced even one good tune. Good innings. You know, you've got to respect that from a perspective.
Thanks, mate. I'm glad I came on your podcast now for that.
Not for me.
The thing is, the people that, because I wanted to follow this joke as much as possible, the first, the people that your PT's wife sent were the company that I emailed. So I'm still fully expecting an email at some point next week saying no.
there's probably an episode in our rejections over the last 16 months or something. I've got keen to do that.
I thought we had Tyson Fury. Like, I was watching a movie last night and I came back in and there was a lot of chat about Tyson Fury and I was like, Fuck me, have we got Tyson Fury?
By a lot of chat about Tyson Fury, you mean that James DM'd Tyson Fury saying, mate, why come on the podcast tomorrow?
Twice.
But the thing was that was the thing that fucking sparked you into action. You read that and was like, yes, yes. Brilliant. You actually said, you're like, that's a great shout. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know who else should try and get that fucking Tom Hanks? He'll be fucking answering his DMs.
It was great. It was amazing because Danny went, "Oh, you DMing Tyson Fury drunk last night?" I was like, "I had three beers, mate. I was just trying to create a narrative of all these celebs I was going to DM, but we went down the Keen route." But that is what sparked your reaction. You've no understanding because we'll talk about rejection. But Shane, whenever we say what guest should we get on, Shane's like, "Oh, damn, maybe Obama will do it." You know, fucking Lucy. he's got these unreasonable expectations of guests as if. And he's like, oh,
what are they doing? What are they doing at the moment? The same thing as we're doing. They're sitting in their house going, fuck, I'm bored. I should write a song.
But when you're at that level, mate, it takes someone near that level to spark you to do something. It's not these wee minnow podcasts from fucking Glasgow.
Oh.
Do you remember how many hoops James had to jump just to get to a guy who said, I'll maybe speak to Lewis Capaldi at Christmas time?
Yeah, yeah. It was the nicest rejection I've ever had from someone. And then you Shane's chat a few weeks ago when we spoke about getting guests on lockdown was like, what else have they got to do? Don't go through the official people, which means, in my opinion, just DM them on Twitter or Instagram and they'll never fucking see it.
We need a tick, eh? If we had a tick, we could do this shit all the time. We could just be like, hey, Tyson, come on our podcast, and he'll fucking reply because he only likes cunts with blue tits.
Well, no, this is something I jokingly said to Kat from You're All Right. I said, can you, she gets fucking all these people following on, people with blue tits all day long on our live chats. And I said, can you get us Tyson Fury? And she went, I actually know someone that knows him very well, but she's not willing to be the drunk therapy guest booker because she wants to get him in a You're All Right hoodie first. But yeah. Talk about 6 degrees of separation. We could potentially get that guy on if Kat's willing to be a good guy.
My lasting memory of Tyson Fury was that a mate of ours probably still is, fucking loved him. And every time he talked about how much he loved Tyson Fury, I would just reply with one of his sexist, transphobic or homophobic comments. And that would be it. I would say nothing else. And it would just wind him up so much. It was dead funny.
I think Tyson Fury is way more complicated than just.
He was on the port when he was saying that.
I'm not discounting the fact that he has said a lot of stuff that you would be disgusted by.
Too serious a topic, Shane. Speak.
I was trying to get Taika Waititi, but my brother shared it.
Mate, he is going to produce the next best Marvel film.
He used to be a rugby player.
Probably.
Had a broken
He was
neck.
New Zealander of the Year a couple of years ago.
Ah, well. Who isn't he?
I haven't been, but that's because I'm fucking skating around Shettleston.
Danny, you did something amazing last week because lockdown's inspired so many creative ways of people engaging. And whether or not you want to talk about it, I think you should. Danny and I have been watching for the past 3 weeks because somebody dropped it in the Drunk Therapy DMs. I think it was Stuart. He runs the Where I Had a Drink Twitter.
Kat had also mentioned it as well to us.
Yeah, and it's called The Staying In. And every Saturday night they've been running a web Zoom to Groom type thing, dating situation. And we were on it last week.
Say that again, web Zoom to Groom.
It's kind of like web dating, 90-second dating on Zoom. And it's got predominantly Glaswegians, but people from all of the UK are jumping in, especially Australians, which is weird. And I was on it with Danny last week, on the comments. There's 200 people watching. And I'm sticking Gary Folds in there. I'm like, you should definitely do that. Our friend Pete as well. I'm saying, you should get involved in this. And then Danny turns around to me and goes, I'm going to jump on this. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's like the antithesis of anything you would ever perceive Danny getting involved in. And he fucking smashed it. Like, the first person that he had a date with, he had a date with four girls, like, 90 seconds, and he just went, it's shite that Kim Jong-un's did, isn't it? All these people have been taking it seriously for weeks, and he just starts talking about real-life shit, as if he doesn't give a fuck about any of the dates, and everybody in the comments exploded, just going, this guy's funny as fuck. Like, he's the guy that they should all date. And there was this botanist, am I right? She seemed like a botanist anyway, didn't she?
I bet she was a plant enthusiast, is probably the way to put it.
And that, the only reason, one of the only reasons Danny came on was because he wanted to find out about his plant.
Aye, planties in a bad way. And I just watched this thing, and it's good. I encourage people, it's on a Saturday night, you should watch it, it's a good laugh. But there was a lassie on. It's just, we'll send you the link after it. We'll fucking link shit. But it's a Facebook page that run live events every night, essentially. And the guy that does it seems dead funny, and he seems like a nice guy. But there was this girl who was steaming and fucking had loads of plants in front of her. And I'm pretty sure I've killed Planty. So I signed up to it just because I wanted to ask the girl how I fixed my plant. And she didn't. She did give me advice, but I still feel the worst for my plant.
Oh, she was brilliant. And the guy offered you a t-shirt and they never followed through as well.
I didn't know. I'm doing my t-shirt. That first girl that you were talking about, I think, was Swedish and did not understand a fucking word I was saying. That was funny as well.
You basically announced it, and we still don't have any verification. They're probably rolling out old.
Apparently, as a live, aye.
Yeah, but as you know, no one will ever fucking know the situation there. They could probably run that guy through age software, you know, for the next 10 years, saying he's alive, and he's not. But I just thought that was, to me, that was, well, two things. It was brave as fuck, because I would not have been able to do it, but you just took it in a different direction, because everybody that I'd watched in it, you were cringing for people, because they were just like, hey man, how are you? How are you getting on with lockdown? And every single date that you had, you were just like, was Kim Jong-un did, or what did I do with my fucking Venus flytrap, or did I see you with a Jack Jester t-shirt on? You're just ripping the arse out of fucking everything. And one of the best things is, you carried it really well. Danny hates Nando's, and a girl went, what's your perfect Nando's? And he just went, it's just chicken and chips.
It is just chicken and chips. Yeah, what have you been up to this week, James? You seem to have had an eventful little week.
I painted a fence today, mate.
I went to B&Q. Also sounds shite.
Tell us
the fucking good news we want to know.
Yeah, cunts need a fucking positive story. Give us one.
Well, it was just, I woke up with a really sunny mentality, and I went, do you know what, my paint that I ordered 20 days ago hasn't arrived, so I'm just going to walk down to B&Q and see if there's any in there. And there was. It wasn't immediately available because there was a lot of forest green there. And I just kept walking around in circles, because sometimes, initially, back in the day, I would have walked in, seen
fucking
forest.
Fucking hell, it's like you narrating your Instagram stories.
I actually don't want you to tell us the good news anymore. I hope you lose this fucking job that you got.
And so I just kept walking in circles until I noticed some
dark.
James got a job. James started a new job. We were delighted for him up until about fucking 3 minutes ago.
The neighbours and I have all, like, we've all agreed to paint the fence the exact same colour, and I've started it, and it's looking okay. I mean, some people critique it and say
a dog. Can we just talk?
Yeah, Shane's getting a dog. That actually is something good and fun. Shane, tell us about how you're getting a dog, but see what I do for 5 minutes before it. Tell us a story about painting a fence and neighbours.
I don't have a fence. Fence. Someone's doing it.
How are you going to hype this up? Congratulations on your new job, James. We're all very pleased for you. Shane, tell us about your dog.
I'm getting to the job, but the fence was more important.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a Go Radio, mate. It's a radio station in the Gulf.
That's not a dog. Now I'm confused. Who's painting the fence? You tell us about the fucking job.
I got a job, mate. It's like the most unprecedented situation of, like, most people that aren't proper key workers in lockdown. So I'm very appreciative. And yeah, that's it. I'm not going to labour on too much about it. I was happy in retirement, but also bored in retirement. And because last week was very sunny and this week's not been sunny, it was like, yeah, I got a job, this is cool. Next week's going to be sunny, so I'm quite grim about the fact that I'm going to be stuck in working from home. So.
Has it changed? Did it change your mentality quite quickly in terms of going from feeling quite downbeat to all of a sudden feeling quite chipper and upbeat?
See, I wasn't downbeat last week, mate. Like, I was meant to be on holiday from the 18th to the 25th, so Saturday to Saturday. So I kind of chose to, alongside Chloe, because it was her birthday week especially, I chose to really be sunny side up with everything that I thought about, and we had a cracking week there. And when the weather changed, it was a wee bit challenging because we were out the back garden previously and building our days around being out the back garden and then coming in. So it was like a game of two halves. I didn't really need to change my mentality that much. This came out of nowhere. And it's more of a creative mentality that I kind of held back because there was no opportunities to do it. So there's a part of my personality that's been reactivated that wasn't there, but it wasn't something that was affected by coronavirus in the slightest. So
was it just like out of the blue they were like, yo, what's up? I don't know how fucking email nowadays.
Nah, I've got relationships and conversations where I'm going with a lot of people, mate, but everything froze, as I'd imagine, like Danny's been talking about earlier, you know. A lot of things froze when shit happened, but in regards to this opportunity, it came up again, and I just had a conversation. It was a 10-minute conversation, and within 10 minutes of the conversation on Tuesday that I had with this person, I was offered the job, and it completely, for me, it came out of fucking nowhere. I was like, cool, I just thought this was a conversation, you know, maybe some freelance shifts eventually, and then I'd be foolish not to take it, and I'm quite happy that I'm just doing stuff again, you know.
When was the last time you played Keen?
Mate, I don't know.
If you want them in for an acoustic set, I can hook you up.
They might listen to this podcast though and only want to come on this podcast for the rest of their days.
That's true. Shane, you're getting a dog. So are you gonna call that dog Keen the dog?
Fuck no. I think if we get a boy it's gonna be called Maui. But yeah. It's either gonna be like we've been talking to a few breeders and we either want a show cocker spaniel or a Staffy. Because Marla's, I literally, like, of course I want a Staffy. I'm a short Staffy of a man with tattoos and shit. And Marla's a bit more posh. But, like, I've just shown her, you know those memes of, like, Staffy smiling? I don't know if you see them. You need to know someone that's fucking dog mental. But they just have this really good smile and it's, like, a famous thing. And that turned Marla really quickly. She's like, yeah, let's get that dog then. Because we want a dog that can swim.
Why are you... You've alluded to this. Why are you not adopting me? I need to ask, because it's something that I'm pretty passionate about. If anyone's getting an animal, they should rescue one.
How many dogs have you adopted?
I said animal, and I've adopted two cats.
I've adopted a fish, mate. I'm OG adopter.
You stole a fucking fish, mate.
We summoned a fish.
we need it to be able to, it's gonna, because our friends got a dog a while ago and that kind of helped inspire us to go, let's do it now. Yeah, we've wanted one for fucking since we've been here, but they're gonna probably help us because she works from home, so they're probably gonna do some walking and stuff, but they have a new dog. Yeah. And a lot of dogs that you rescue, like the majority of them can't be with other dogs really, like they're like, you know. So we don't know how much time it's going to be spending at our friend's house with their dog. So if it says can't live with other dogs, can't exactly be like, hey, can you look after our dog for a bit? Thanks so much. Oh, our dog ate yours.
Just say you want a puppy. It's all right. Like, I wouldn't judge you. I'd want a puppy, man. Like, I would just get a wee puppy and raise it myself.
Teach it tricks.
Yeah, adoption's very noble and it's a lovely thing to do, but I want a fucking puppy, man.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that, but a little bit of like, because like my growing up, we adopted dogs like all the time, And I kind of have always been like, fuck yeah, I will. But like, when it comes to like, if you're trying to get some favors out of people and, you know, people have dogs and they're going to help look after the dog from time to time or help walk it, you can't have a dog that's fucking mad skitzing out and trying to bite their dog because all of a sudden they don't want to help them anymore.
The only thing I'd say to be an advocate of rescue dogs is they're not always placed in the, you know, like SSPCA because they're mental. It's circumstance. There could be a great dog that the people that own it can't take into a new building that they're in, you know, like a new flat that doesn't take dogs. These dogs can be brilliant with other dogs, you know. It just takes a wee bit of research. That being said,
I've literally looked at every dog for rescue in Scotland at the moment, and the ones that kind of work with or fit what we need, they're like, nah, they're not.
Dogs trust is shut just now anyway, because I was looking
at a lot of them are kind of open, kind of closed. Like, this would be quite shit for like these charities and stuff.
Puppies aren't. Can you still get a puppy off Gumtree? Because that's not very. Like, dogs shouldn't be having sex right now. They should be all 2 meters apart.
Don't fucking buy a puppy off Gumtree, mate. No.
I'm not buying it. I'm just fucking discussing it.
I'm just saying, but never, like, that's puppy farmed out its nut. We're like, this fucking facade of, oh, we're nice breeders. And they fuck.
Rescue cats are fucking saints, right enough.
I like how this has just gone, like, this is just gradually turning into a fight. It's like, fuck you and your cats.
there's Bichon Frise puppies on Gumtree just now, Shane. make the call. Dog's just closed.
You hate rescue dogs now because your dad rescued boxers.
My dad rescued one boxer and it wasn't... Mm-hmm. That dog was fucking broken, man. Like, it shouldn't have been put up for rescue. It was old and it was fucked and it was a shame. Mm. So, boxer puppies.
My brother had a boxer, has got a boxer now. And I was like, when I was talking to him the other day, because I try and catch up them once a week, and I was like, oh, we're getting a dog. He's like, don't get a boxer.
They're the best dogs,
but absolute best dogs.
They're good dogs, but they're huge and dumb and like he's got a big house, a big land, and he's still like, this dog is like it's lovely, it loves us, but it's just mental. It's batshit crazy.
Staffies are fucking sane and level-headed animals.
Actually, they're like, I got into this fight with a guy I worked with like last year. About which dogs have like got the best the least attacks is like Staffies are like right down there, and like up there is the most are like Labradors, shit like that. Staffies have a bad rep because they look like they could bite you, but it doesn't mean they bite you.
We have 6 minutes left. Chihuahuas aren't real animals. Chihuahuas are don't know what Chihuahua is. We've 6 minutes left, so I'm thinking about buying 12-pound cheese, if anybody's interested in that. Fuck knows. There's some like absolutely pretentious fucking garbage deli not far from me, and it does deliveries. And I looked at the menu, and they do cheese for £12 and chutney for £6. And I thought, I kind of want to try £12 cheese.
A chutney looks to me like the one thing that would be very easy to make as a human.
Yeah, I think it's just, fuck knows, it's just like savoury jam into it, chutney, but it's jalapeno, kiwi and lime chutney, which sounds really nice, it sounds fucking delicious, but £6 for a jar and then £12 for cheese, man. All I do every day is think about this podcast, so I thought for podcast content I would buy £12 cheese.
Is it rescue cheese?
Was it milk from a rescue cow?
that's how it's got such like a good taste, because it was like quite damaged growing up, so it hasn't matured properly.
It's from Gumtree, eh? It's from a puppy farm.
I think that's a nice way to end it, and then we'll find out if you buy the cheese next time.
What a cliffhanger.
This is the shittest ending ever. Will he buy the cheese? Find out next time.
Well, all the dating stuff will really make it worthwhile.
When Keen join us next time, that cunt will be a good cheese connoisseur. Pork is a fucking cheese thing, is it not? I know it's not cheese, but is that not like you'd have like a cheese and port night?
Mate, it would be like it genuinely would be. Port's shite, by the way. It's horrible.
What wine gum is port?
Yeah, it's fortified wine. It's horrible. This, if anything, this shows that we do need guests. Shane, what the fuck are you doing, mate?
The sun's fucking like I love it. How good is it to have sun? But it's also fucking with me.
You look like you're opening a letterbox.
He's waiting for his puppy. His puppy's getting delivered any minute now. There's just a staffy fucking shoved through there.
Did I tell everyone about my skateboard that I got? It's awesome.
Oh, there's only 3 minutes left. Oh, no, there's only 10 seconds left.
I thought we'd finished the podcast.
Every day, one piece of the skateboard arrived. Honestly, it was the best week of just like, we'll come tomorrow. It was fucking delightful.
Skateboard, not a board and four wheels.
Nah, oh, bro. Let me show you.
Right. Oh, fuck.
tunnel. There's a tunnel. Oh, no.
There we go. So that's the deck.
That was Drunk Therapy. If you enjoyed this podcast, go listen to some of the other ones. The old you would have. If you're on socials, like us there as well. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @DrunkTherapy. It's something weird on Twitter, which I can't remember right now.